I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. This is Heritage Radio Network. We're here today at Roberta's Pizza, and happy, happy new year. Welcome to 2010.
Yay.
Yeah. So today's program is brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, and it's produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. So today, I'm really happy to have three awesome people, local food artisans, if you will. Do you mind calling yourselves an artisan? Is that... does that sound a little weird? Because you call it artisanal food.
Artisanal.
But can I call you food artisan?
Sure.
I was trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so anyway, they are Keita Mo from Mama O's Kimchi.
Woo!
Okay. How does that work? Darn it. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Woo! Okay. Hello. Hey, what's up?
Keetum is actually a really good musician, and he just tried to use the soundboard, and it was foiled by it because it's not working. Sorry about that. So you just started Mama O's Kimchi last year, right? Uh-huh. So you'll have your anniversary in the spring? Or
yeah, I'll pick a date, I guess.
And, okay. So we're getting closer. Yeah, congrats on a happy, exciting 2009. Probably really busy and probably kicked your ass a bit.
Good times.
But yeah, and so Lena McCarthy and Liv Manfredi went through this too recently with Anarchy in a Jar, their jam company. So this is all a new startup as of a year and a half ago, right?
About a year. I mean, since we really went, you know, pro. Yeah, so probably same.
Nice.
So what does going pro mean? Did you quit your day jobs?
No.
Negative. Okay. Didn't think so.
Pro is more like a hobby gone a little bit wild.
Yeah, hobby gone wild. You know, we got business licenses and made it official and, you know, went through some of the channels so that we could actually start selling it.
Amazing.
Yeah, and started, you know, cooking out of a commercial kitchen
rather than your own kitchen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And actually charging people for it instead of just giving it as gifts, right? So
yeah, that's how it all starts. Mm-hmm. Right. And same for you, Keetum, right? It was just kind of a small
it started
hobby.
Just making it for myself, really, and then giving it to friends, and then now I'm out in the kitchen, and it's, I think going pro is when you're like, man, this is taking a lot more time than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Exactly. Like,
but hopefully it's still fun.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's great.
It's something that's a work in progress, I'm sure.
It's great, but it's just astounding how much time I'll spend chopping. Mm-hmm. Just chopping.
Cabbage.
Cut, slide.
I find that really relaxing, don't you?
It's great.
Except when you cut your fingers off. That can happen.
Yeah. We chop. There's a lot of just, sometimes I just am amazed by how much time we spend with fruit, like in the presence of fruit. Fruit that's like, you know, it's
kind of nice that we do things seasonally.
Yeah.
Because by the time the season's ended, you're pretty tired of whatever that
fruit
is.
And you're moving on to the next fruit.
Yeah, exactly. True. Exactly.
It's better than looking at, staring at, you know, pickled herring all day and chopping that.
I'm really glad that we're jam makers, not pickled herring makers, actually.
Come to think of it, you guys have similar processes. Making a jam, chopping up lots of fruit, making kimchi, chopping up lots of vegetables, and pickling it.
Sticking in a jar.
Sticking in a jar. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah.
And you're all local oriented. Seasonal. That's just like such, I mean, I think it's, first of all, your food is excellent tasting, but that's just such a nice thing to be doing nowadays, and especially in a place that's a little more challenging for fruit like the Northeast So
it is, and it's challenging, but I think that's also what makes it kind of fun, is we work with small farms and we spend a lot of time in the season just like roaming around and finding great stuff, and that's that kind of that part of discovery makes it really fun.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like a challenge, like, where are we gonna find this awesome random heritage apple? Oh, only one place, but then we're gonna hunt down this other kind, and like it's fun. It's it makes it it keeps it interesting. And it's nice having a relationship with local farms.
Totally. And you lend that relationship and that knowledge of local seasonal foods onto your consumer, I think.
Totally. And I think it tastes different. I think it, like, when you're using local ingredients that are grown with love, you taste that love and you taste that, like, it just, and it's, I think especially when you're jarring something, it's like you're kind of making it the essence of that fruit. So like, I feel like when I'm making jam is all about condensing it into this, like, the perfect essence of that fruit. So
this is getting very spiritual now. I'm feeling the fruit.
Do we have to go sexy?
Yes,
the essence of this sexy fruit.
Well, speaking of tasting this food, I really wanted to invite these two guests rather than a local cheesemaker or something like that, because I've been finding that a lot of people, when I ask them what's the sexiest food you can ever cook for somebody that you absolutely adore, a lot of the times they say, oh, like chocolate, or, you know, rich chocolatey cake, something super sweet and sticky and gooey. Or they say something like, yeah, like a fiery chili or something really, really spicy. Mm. So, you know, I think these people represent each of those flavor profiles to a hilt. And not that Anarchy in a Jar jams are sweet for jams. I think that they have a good balance of tartness and yada, yada. But it's definitely, it's a condensed sweet spread. You know, it's there to be a seasoning. And kimchi is obviously...
goes with everything.
It goes with everything, and it's spicy and briny, and goodness, yeah.
So good.
I have to say, even though this is like a spicy versus sweet, a friend of mine she just told me yesterday, she's been making like omelets with kimchi butter. She uses like, and she uses your kimchi.
Oh, yeah?
And then she takes my jam, she puts it on toast, and she uses like,
what?
She does like, it's like egg, kimchi, and jam all together. So it's
in
like
an omelet?
Yeah.
What?
On a piece of toast.
On top of a McGriddle.
Right, exactly.
That's amazing. What doesn't the, how do you make kimchi butter? Because it didn't have like a lot of water in the,
I don't
in the brine? Vinegar?
I don't know. Some kimchi,
I don't know.
Some
I don't know how she does it. It's Joanne Kim.
Oh, Joanne Kim. Okay.
Nice. Random. We'll have to ask her. Well, you know, Joanne, call in.
Joanne, call right now.
Call right now.
Get on the phone.
Yeah.
That's, by the way, the Greenpoint Food Market founder, Joanne Kim.
Yes, Joanne Kim.
Go Green Market. I mean, Greenpoint Food Market. Did I say Green Market? Whatever. So Keaton, like, what kind of spices do you use for kimchi? Cause I'm a little unclear about that.
Well for kimchi, it's mainly, the spice that you're going to, taste is, if it's not garlic or ginger, it's a Korean red pepper that's ground up and you use a lot of it. And, I've also experimented using different types of like different peppers for because the Korean red pepper, I don't think it's really that. It's not like like one of those little Thai rat shit peppers that are, you just want to rip your head off because it's so hot.
It's not too spicy.
Yeah, it's not so spicy. But I've
and also it's dried, so that decreases the spiciness too because it's little flakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And but I've been experimenting mixing like those little Thai peppers with like larger like Mexican like. I forget what there are, like poblano peppers.
Okay.
But, because adding the
Serrano.
Color's important.
Yeah. 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 Cool. And what about, like, what if I just use, like, Italian red pepper flakes? No?
Yay, oh, you nay? Mean, like, if you,
you know,
like,
those, like, the pizza
grab
thing?
The pizza thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be too good. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's like mainly seeds too, and it's like if you, I think the grind has to be finer.
I see.
But I think
you
if,
don't
if
want
you
the
did
seeds
it,
in it. Yeah.
I think if you did it. It'll probably be okay, but the color wouldn't be there because it'll just be kind of...
Ooh, that's right. It'll just be seedy.
Yeah.
Seedy. Oh, that sounds exciting. Okay. So, so you talked a little bit about how you make jams. But what do you think sets yours apart from the other jams?
I think we have a lot of unique flavor combinations. And we definitely try to do that perfect balance between enough sugar to preserve it, but not too much.
Unique flavor combinations, yeah.
Yeah, and we do a lot with local stuff. So, you know, we had for a while these damson plums from upstate, and we mixed them with a...
The plum port preserves.
Yeah, so with good. Port and then a little ginger. And that's... So we just kind of try to play and have fun.
So it's not all just sweet. You got every other flavors mixed in there.
Yeah, and especially the plum, when you use the skins, it keeps it really tart. So we always make sure to kind of give that little balance so that you get that. I mean, that's like the perfect flavor when you get the tart and the sweet, you know, getting the sour and maybe even a hit of bitter. You get all of that flavor happening in your mouth, and I think it just makes you happier.
Yeah, actually, I gave, speaking of like, unsurprising flavors. I mean, I didn't think it was that surprising, but when I gave my dad a jar of the strawberry balsamic preserves, he was like, "What? Balsamic in strawberry jam?" He was totally disgusted by that idea. And I was like, "No, it's just like a little sour and a little bit bitter." So
yeah, and we kind of try to work off of some classic flavors. That, you know, especially things like strawberry and balsamic, it's like a classic Italian thing that you mix your, you add a little balsamic, especially sweet aged balsamic to your strawberries. It's like a classic Italian
like a reduction.
Dessert.
Yeah.
Sometimes
good.
You just like pour it on there, like strawberries with a little balsamic on it. So that's something that just, it just works together. So we took that and put it in a jar.
And have you guys ever made something that was a little spicy too?
We have, I think...
Isn't like that what chutney is, basically?
Pear combination.
Chipotle pear.
Had a little bit of a kick.
Spokiness, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have made some chutneys, too, right?
We make a chutney. We also make a hot pepper jelly using peppers from Rooftop Farms, local Brooklyn farm that we'll soon be joining forces with Roberta's and
totally
making it happen. So they have amazing peppers, and so we use their peppers and then our own vinegar that Liv has been making with her,
putting my wine samples to good use.
Yeah. Keaton, do you make vinegar yourself? Rice vinegar? That sounds a little tricky.
Only if I leave my socks in the sink. No one wants that.
Whoa, please don't.
Whoa.
I think, store-bought sounds good to me right now. Do you ever put sugar in your kimchi, is that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it takes a little sweetness, too. Mm-hmm. And cabbage has a little bit.
It's sweet, I think kimchi has that little sweetness going on.
Yeah. Also, I made this thing, which is spicy and sweet, with my friend Sam Kim, which was the Asian pear kimchi. Which is so good.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, so it's like the snow pear. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's crunchy.
Yeah, super crunchy. It's a little less like a kimchi. It's more almost like a spicy fruit salad.
That sounds awesome.
So
I'm going to try that next. Mm. All right, so Keaton, you're also a musician, and I know you brought a song to play.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know the theme was deceased artists, but
that's all right. That'll be the next show's theme.
This is I'm in a band. We're called the Beatards, and we did a remix for R. Kelly. And this is brand new. This is actually a rough version, but I mean, who's sexier than R. Kelly, right?
Awesome. Woo-woo. Let's hear it. Be right back after the break.
You ain't coming in today.
Sex in the morning, sex all day.
So baby girl, pack a bag and head to my place.
Sex in the morning, sex all day.
And when you get there, don't stop, don't hesitate.
Sex in the morning, sex all day.
I left the key, so let yourself in, baby.
Sex in the morning, sex all day.
Now drop your bags, pour yourself a drink. I left your next clue by the sink. It should be a box with your name. Open it up, see what's inside. Whatever it is, put it on and head to the bedroom. I'll be waiting at 'em like crazy. Hope you're ready.
welcome back. This is Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. I'm brought to you today by Fairway Market on Heritage Radio Network. And today we have Keetum O, Lana McCarthy, Liv Menafredi.
That's
right. And that was just Keetum's band, the Beatards. And that was amazing, Keetum. Good stuff. Like we were just laughing about earlier, you know, what is sexier than somebody yodeling in us?
Right, and I just happened to bring a song with the guy
that was,
yodeling.
That was an awesome remix, really. So actually, you can call in now if you have any questions for these guys. The number is 718-497-2128 on Heritage Radio Network. So one of the things one of the reasons I asked you to bring guys in a song, it was to see what you guys like to listen to when you're either cooking, dating, getting a little, you know, comfortable with somebody. So is that something that you like to cook to when you're chopping?
You get the fine chop with that song, you know, double time, you know.
Energetic.
Chop.
Now, I know that... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I actually like... I listen to classical.
Classical when you're cooking. When I cook. Wow. Now, I know you guys must be kind of sick of cooking because you do that for your businesses, but do you guys cook at home a lot? I'm imagining you do. Just basically, no? Keetum? Never? Really?
Usually, but I'll eat a lot of
just
cereal.
Just
kimchi and cereal.
Kimchi. Wow.
And then my thing is the iced coffees at the Chinese bakery, and then you take the pork buns, the cha siu bao, and then you take a bite out and open up like a pita and stuff it with kimchi.
Whoa!
So,
whoa!
Okay, well that's kind of cooking with already made foods from a restaurant, right. Or reinterpreting it. You know,
exactly.
Doing what you got to do,
upgrading.
Exactly. And so, you know, I'm sure you don't have that much time with your busy lives. But do you ever like to cook for a date? Is that something you've ever attempted? Maybe
cook for a date once, and it you can tell this is a horrible failure story. I thought that it would be a good idea to make gnocchi, and then
for the first time on a date,
and then. You
good idea.
But you got to bake, because I think I saw like The Godfather 3 and, you know, that scene with like, what's her face? Sophia.
Coppola.
Yeah. And Andy Garcia.
Yes.
They're making the gnocchi. I was like, oh, that's going to be sexy. Okay, cool. But the thing is, you got to bake a potato for like 45 minutes or an hour before you even start making the gnocchi. So, and this is like.
Boil it.
Well, I wasn't thinking like that. And so it was just long and drawn out, and it was bad.
It was not sexy.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't Sophia and Andy hot. Okay. Too bad. Well, you know, there's always another. Maybe try something in your comfort zone. Hey.
Cereal.
But cereal.
Here, baby, I'll help you pour.
You can't blame somebody for ambition. We got a call. So, hey. You're on Cheap Date. I'm Kathy. What's your name?
Hey, Kathy. My name's Elizabeth. How's it going?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Thanks. You too.
I'm a big fan of your show. I was just wondering, I mean, kimchi, out of all things, what's romantic about it? Why the hell would I want to make that for my date?
Yeah, I know. It's stinky.
Ooh,
it's spicy.
When the battle begins.
Oh, well, actually, before you get, because I know you're about to go crazy, I think it kind of freshens your palate. I think it it's crisp, it's bright, and it cleanses you a little bit.
Plus, it's like, you know, it's a bonding thing, you know, because once, you know, one person can't eat kimchi. If one person eats kimchi, the other person has to eat kimchi. Either that, or one person's gonna have like the crazy garlic breath. So it's like it's a shared experience.
It's like an experimental type of dinner date, I guess we would call it then.
I think, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you know, break out the blindfolds.
For those of us who don't try weird things, I guess. Not that kimchi is weird, but, you know, some people find it weird, but they don't eat other things.
It's a living thing, too. There's lots of stuff going on with lactofermentation. So you're really eating something that is a breathing entity in its own.
But I might suggest that before you go in for a kiss, you have a little spoonful of jam.
Oh.
Just a little jam, because, you know...
To sweeten things
up. And as Liv was saying earlier, in in her great knowledge of taste buds. Sweetness
sweetness is the very tip of your tongue.
Yeah, it excites the tip of your tongue. That's where you. That's where you taste it. Where you taste
that is sweetness. True. I remember that from kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And so the Anarchy Girls fight back. With but that's
sweet is just the tip. You know, we're talking about the whole thing, which is spicy, because spicy just covers the whole organ.
You're going in here. Yeah. Okay, so spiciness hits you deep on a level where it actually raises your. Body temperature, right? Yeah. It causes some. Okay, I'm fighting. I don't want to be on anyone's side here, but I'm just theorizing. I mean, why do people say spiciness is such a romantically inspiring food? I mean, kimchi set aside, but anything spicy. I mean, there's got to be something to that.
It's because it gets the heart beating and you start to sweat and. I don't know. I mean, because it's kind of weird because to me, the sexiest food, I think, are mangoes. Mm. Like, they just taste like sex to me. I mean, well, what I would like it to taste like. when you first eat, like, oh, my God, this is so good.
Mangoes taste like sex. Yes. That's amazing. That's right. I can see. Do you cut out the like, little cubes when you, like, flip the skin over? And then, do you do that? Or
I just scrape it, do the...
My favorite part of eating a mango is once after you cut around the crazy, weird core, the pit, is because the part of the flesh that's right next to the core is the best tasting. Yeah. It's the sweetest, the tartest. So you just get in there and eat it off like a corn on the cob.
Mm-hmm. Gnawing on that mango pit.
I can see how that would be. And it's all dripping all over your face. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super sexy.
That's kind of sexy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think maybe spicy is... sexier because all right, may I ask these ladies a question?
Yes
Have, and this is purely professional question, mm-hmm. strictly for medicinal purposes, mm-hmm. have you ever gone down on have you ever given someone a was it sweet
or spicy? Is this the question?
I thought you were going to say...
Or spicy?
I would say sweet. Okay, sweet. My mom's not listening right now.
My mom is.
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
I thought you were going to say something about, like, if you have spiciness on your tongue,
right,
like, that
that's
would
what I thought
hurt.
Too.
Yeah.
Hurting is good?
No, that wouldn't be good at all. Actually, that sounds horrible. so that's another detraction we need to think about. Well, we need to weigh the pros and the cons here and come to some sort of solution.
I feel like spicy, I get it. It's sexy. It gets you a little sweaty. And there's something like, it warms you up. But I think when you're actually talking about the sexiness of the food, jam just trumps it. I mean, if you're going to, you want to watching someone take a little spoonful of jam, get that little sweetness in your mouth.
You can feed somebody a spoonful.
You can feed someone a spoonful, yeah.
I hear you.
You can lick jam off of someone's body, but I'm just saying, can you lick kimchi off someone's body? I mean, you could.
But not the right, not all the parts.
Not sexy.
All right. So, there's pros and cons to both. Mm-hmm. And I know that you guys have cooked both sweet and spicy at once things. And actually, maybe that's the perfect harmony. Get a little both in the mix.
Get a little both in the mix.
Like, Keetum, like you sent that picture of a Doritos Thai. Like, what is it? Spicy and sweet Thai Doritos? Sweet. You're like, look, evidence. That was great. So I know that you guys love to cook, Liv and Lena, more than just cereal. But what would you make that would be, you can have your jams in it or whatever. Cheap date. What would you cook, Liv?
We've had some really successful jam pizzas.
Ooh. No.
We have.
Instead of sauce?
Instead of sauce.
Goat cheese? What do you put on top?
We did a prosciutto, fig jam, and arugula.
Oh my god, that sounds like great.
A little bit of cheese.
No cheese? What kind of cheese?
I think we used Parmesan.
I think we used
Romano.
Yeah. I think, or was it? Yeah, we did.
Nice.
We did. It
was Parmesan.
Or pulled pork, and our cherry jam was also amazing. A little manchego.
What a good idea.
Morello sour cherry jam.
That's one of my favorites.
So it's got a little tartness, and it's good. And it was, with the pulled pork. It was like a pulled barbecue pork, I think, we made.
Great. And, pizza's a good dish to cook on a date, Keaton, just if you're taking notes. Because it's really easy and it's really quick, I think. If you get the dough, if you're okay, if you're comfortable with that, then that can be pretty quick.
Plus, you could, do the simultaneous dough roll.
Yeah, you could have that little
that
go behind
kneading.
Godfather.
Like, the ghost. Like.
Are you talking about the clay to the pottery?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, one person kneads at the same time, and then the other person does the fold.
Right. Push, pull.
Push, pull.
Ooh, romantic.
But I think jam trumps it as the sexiest food.
Yeah.
Because you can have it
you
the morning
slather.
After.
It's slather-worthy.
It's really good on toast.
Breakfast, morning after food.
I think, actually, breakfast is one of the best, if we're talking about eating in and date food, I think...
We should be. That's the point of the show.
To bring it back.
Yeah,
I think cooking the morning after is, it's really romantic. Because, dates, especially first dates, are kind of uncomfortable, especially when you're in a restaurant and you're, all nervous and you really like the person and you're sitting in this restaurant trying to, eat food and manage to... Mm. And I don't think when you're eating at a restaurant, there's something about it that's a little formal and it's... But
I
once
wholeheartedly
you've gotten
agree.
Over that and you're comfortable, you've gone home together, everything's good, then that breakfast the next day... that's when the magic happens.
That's when you can really put down, let your hair down.
Exactly.
And be without your makeup and whatever.
Totally, totally. Without your makeup. And then, and I think you can do, breakfast is an impressive meal too. Even
what
though
would
it's
you
simple.
On a morning after breakfast, Lena?
I like making eggs. I think eggs, poaching them or making a really soft, perfect scrambled eggs and then putting them on toast. And actually, it's awesome. I love making scrambled eggs with a little chives or creme fraiche in it and then a little marmalade on toast and then the egg on top.
That sounds great. Perfect. So we have another caller. Hey, I'm Kathy. What's your name?
Hi, guys. It's Joanne.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi,
Joanne. Thanks for calling.
I'm laughing my butt off here and I just had to call in. Talking about, morning after breakfast. I've been the last few weeks obsessively making omelets with Kadeem's kimchi in it. And
another
then I make these...
No, I'm so surprised. That's a great idea.
And then I make these scones that are lathered in Lena's jam. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally all for both sweet and spicy, and I will definitely lather both jam and kimchi on someone's body and lick it off and eat it off.
Oh, nice.
Wow, Joanne, you're the
Thanks
great
so
equalizer.
Much. That was the perfect conclusion. Thanks so much for calling, dude.
Of course.
Jam on.
When's the next Greenpoint food market anyway? Do you guys know?
February 13th.
Oh, right before Valentine's
perfect.
Day. So you can get your jam and your kimchi there.
Yeah.
And I will
you
get
could...
my jam and kimchi on.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't know we were having an orgy on your plate for breakfast every day. Awesome.
You must really trust these guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
Okay.
Thanks, Joanne.
See you later. Yeah. Wow. All right, so I guess that's about all the time we have today, but I can't think of a better conclusion for that than scones or what does she make? Muffins with your jam, scones. Omelets with kimchi. That is just a revelation.
So good.
Wow, I want to try that.
Slathered all over your body.
You didn't survive me now. I'm not going to invite girls to dinner anymore and be like, hey, you want to have breakfast? Yeah, we'll see how far that goes.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being here today. See you next week. Next up is Snacky Tunes. And this is Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network, brought to you by Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener. See ya.
Bah, 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 bah. she's telling lies and he hears them passing by. He's not a man at all.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.